Let us pray for the reading of God's precious and powerful word. Oh, Father, your word is powerful, your word is alive, your word convicts, your word guides, your word blesses us and gives us more of you every time we read it. Lord, today as we hear it, I pray that you will give us the insight, the revelation to know what it is that you're saying. And then, Holy Spirit, I pray for the will, for you to touch our will so that we want to obey. And we are given the power, Father. Give us the power to obey whatever it is you're showing us through this word. In Jesus' name, amen.
Good morning, everyone. The reading today is from the book of Habakkuk. And it's on page 1459 in your pew Bible. A prayer of Habakkuk, the prophet, on Shigionoth. Lord, I have heard of your fame. I stand in awe of your deeds, Lord. Repeat them in our day. In our time, make them known. In wrath, remember mercy. God came from Teman, the Holy One from Mount Paran. His glory covered the heavens, and his praise filled the earth. His splendor was like the sunrise. Rays flashed from his hand where his power was hidden. Plague went before him. Pestilence followed his steps. He stood and shook the earth. He looked and made the nations tremble. The ancient mountains crumbled and the age-old hills collapsed. But he marches on forever. I saw the tents of Kushan in distress and the dwellings of Midian in anguish. Were you angry with the rivers, Lord? Was your wrath against the streams? Did you rage against the sea when you rode your horses and your chariot to victory? You uncovered your bow. You called for many arrows. You split the earth with rivers. The mountains saw you and writhed. Torrents of water swept by. The deep roared and lifted its waves on high. Sun and moon stood still in the heavens at the glint of your flying arrows, at the lightning of your flashing spear. In wrath you strode through the heaven, and in anger you threshed the nations. You came out to deliver your people. You saved your anointed one. You crushed the leader of the land of wickedness. You stripped him from head to foot. With his own spear, you pierced his head when his warriors stormed out to scatter us, gloating as though about to devour the wretched who were hiding. You trampled the sea with your horses, churning the great waters. I heard and my heart pounded. My lips quivered at the sound. Decay crept into my bones, and my legs trembled. Yet I will wait patiently for the day of calamity to come on the nations invading us. Though the fig tree does not bud and there are no grapes on the vines, though the olive crop fails and the fields produce no food, though there are no sheep in the pen and no cattle in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will be joyful in God my Savior. The Sovereign Lord is my strength. He makes my feet like the feet of deer. He enables me to tread on the heights. For the director of music on my stringed instruments. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Thank you, Jim. So as you know, we have all committed to praying for our church, and the just threat of closing, which the more I pray, the more I think, no, it's not going to happen. We will recover financially, and we will recover the vision, the call, and we will do it God's way. We will adjust where we need to adjust. We will see God's perspective, and we will do God's agenda and not our own agenda. So as we call unto God and continue to do this faithfully, thank you for those of you who came at 9 to pray today, because people would be let go to the breakfast. And those that you didn't remember, we know you pray at home, of course. And we will pray after church next Sunday, because there won't be any breakfast next Sunday. But as we continue to join forces in praying, the Lord showed me the prayer of Habakkuk as I was seeking him for direction for what he wanted to give his flock this Sunday today. And the book of Habakkuk is based, it's a little short little book, you can go home and read it, and it's based on two complaints the prophet brings to God. Aren't you glad that God doesn't shut the door in your face when you complain? Aren't you glad that God lets you be real? That God lets you fight with him? And I mean, of course, he always wins, we know that. But he doesn't say, oh, I can't believe you're doing this, I'm going to strike you dead. He gives us the freedom to express the full range of emotions that we have at any given moment. And so Habakkuk is doing that. He's seeing all this evil around, and his book is based on that. The first complaint he presents to God is found in chapter 1, and he begins like this. How long? Have you ever said that to God? How long? I bet you have. How long, Lord, must I call for help, but you do not listen? Uh-oh, isn't that disrespectful? That's how he's feeling in that moment. And God gives us the freedom to speak that way. He didn't kill him, he kept talking. So he says, that's his first complaint, how long, Lord, must I call for help and you don't listen? Or cry out to you violence, but you do not save. And then the second complaint is also found in chapter 1, and it begins like this. Lord, are you not from everlasting? My God, my Holy One, you will never die. You, Lord, have appointed them to execute judgment. You, my rock, have ordained them to punish. He's continuing this interaction with God, continuing this interaction, and he's complaining. Like, aren't you the powerful one? Aren't you going to do something here? Don't you have all the power? These are very honest prayers, people of God, which Habakkuk presents to God, and it reminds me of the way Gideon, which we're using as the foundation of our prayers as we intercede for our church. Don't forget to go back to that, Gideon 6 and 7, just both chapters. Just read and let them inspire your prayers for our church. So it reminded me of those prayers or that interaction that Gideon had with God in Judges 6 and 7 when he said, remember, we talked about it last week, when God said, oh, you mighty warrior, I am with you. And he said, well, Lord, if you're with us, why is all this happening to us? He was able to express to God exactly how he felt. And so I do believe that Habakkuk's prayer, the book of Habakkuk, specifically chapter 3, will teach us much. It has much, much to teach us today. Before presenting his complaints to God, Habakkuk says this to God. Lord, I've heard of your fame. I've heard of your fame. I stand in awe of your deeds. Lord, do it again, he's saying. Repeat them. Like, Lord, I know what you've done in the past. That's like building your faith. He's going back and looking at what God has done. And that's what we do too. We look back. But Lord, you did this for me back when. So you are with me. For whatever doubts we have in the present, we look and see what God has done in the past. And there are a lot of prophets that do that. You know, the Bible says they recount the mighty deeds of God. So he says, Lord, I've heard of your fame. I stand in awe of your deeds. Lord, repeat them in our day. Do it again. In our time, make them known. And then he says, in wrath, remember mercy. In wrath, remember mercy. Listen, God is very comfortable with our honesty. Very comfortable. He wants to hear how we really feel. All three of my children have an incredible amount of ability to express themselves. Because I would always say, just tell me how you really feel. I can take it. You don't need to worry. And one of them, my middle child, my oldest daughter, would always just like, no, everything is fine. Everything is fine. And I worried more about her than the other ones back then, than the other ones that wouldn't, you know, stop telling me how they felt. So one day we were driving down the road and I said something and she snapped. And she began to tell me things that she had been feeling for a while. And I pulled over and I turned to her and I gave her my undivided attention. I said, tell me more of how you feel. And she did. And I said, is there more? Tell me how you feel. We have to be the same way with our children, because God is that way with us. It doesn't matter how frustrated we are. He cares about how we feel. He wants us to look into his eyes with frustration and with fear at times, and to be completely honest and transparent with him. God is comfortable with our honesty. He wants to hear how we really feel. Yet at the same time that we're honest, we are to approach God. As we approach God, we ought to remember who he is. Because remember, I preached about this, feelings do not tell us the truth. Seldom, in fact, do they tell us the truth. So we may feel like we're going down. We may feel discouraged. We may feel like we're not good, we're not this, or we're not that. But that's not necessarily the truth. So we remember who God is. Even though we feel abandoned, we remember what he said. He'll never leave us. That's the verse for this month. Or abandon us. So it's not about our feelings. Our feelings are wishy-washy. Have you noticed that? Good. Only one person has noticed that. We all have wishy-washy feelings. They're not reliable, people. Give it up. Give it up. Rely on what God has said, what God has done, and what God said he will do. That's what we rely on. So at the same time that we're honest, we are to approach God with what he has done and who he is, his great fame in mind. Lord, I've heard of your fame. I stand in awe of your deeds. Lord, do it again. Remember them in our day, in our time. Make them known. In wrath, remember mercy. We need to remind ourselves of who God is and what he's done in the past and what he said he will do in the future. Listen to verses 3 through 6, and you don't need to read it necessarily. You can just listen to it from today's passage. God came from Teman, the Holy Spirit, the Holy One from Mount Paran. His glory covered the heavens, and his praise filled the earth. His splendor was like the sunrise rays flashed from his hand, where his power was hidden. Plague went before him. Pestilence followed his steps. He stood and shook the earth. He looked and made the nations tremble. The ancient mountains crumbled and the age-old hills collapsed. But he marches on forever. thinking about the wonders God has done in the past and saying it in prayer. Habakkuk is praying. This is a part of his prayer. We can't just come to God with a laundry list of requests. He has feelings, you know, also. Where do you think you get them from? We were made in his image, not only physically, but emotionally. And that's why he wants to make room for our feelings. So, thinking about that, thinking about the wonders God has done in the past and saying them in prayer to him builds our faith. It pleases God and it gives us hope. It pleases God and it gives us hope. Jehoshaphat also does the same thing in prayer in 2 Corinthians 25 through 9. Listen to it. Then Jehoshaphat stood up in the assembly of Judah in Jerusalem at the temple of the Lord in front of the new courtyard and said, Lord, the God of our ancestors, are you not the God who is in heaven? You rule over all the kingdoms of the nations. Power and might are in your hand, and no one can withstand you. Our God, did you not drive out the inhabitants of this land before your people Israel and give it forever to the descendants of Abraham, your friend? They have lived in it and have built in it a sanctuary for your name, saying, if calamity comes upon us, whether the sword of judgment or plague or famine, we will stand in your presence before this temple that bears your name and will cry out to you in our distress, and you will hear us and save us. You can add that to your prayers as we pray for our church. 2 Chronicles 25 through 9. See, amen, she's saying. But here is the last thing I want to point out in Habakkuk's prayer is the one that led me to through writing the thoughts and the revelations God was giving me for this sermon. One of the most powerful things we can do as we pray is this. There is one thing that results in powerful prayers. There's one thing that will make the powers of hell tremble. This one thing is found in verses 17 and 18 of today's passage. Listen to it again with fresh eyes and fresh ears. Though the fig tree does not bud, and there are no grapes in the vines, though the olive crop fails, and the fields produce no food, though there are no sheep in the sheepfold, and no cattle in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will be joyful in God my Savior. How do you like that? This is the guy that just presented those two complaints to God. It's the same guy. I don't know if you noticed it. Same one. You see his faith moving upwards as he began pouring out all this stuff that was in his heart. And then we see him remembering what God has done. And then we see him moving upwards in his faith. Amazing example of what a powerful prayer looks like. Listen up. Every prayer that we pray must end the same way. Lord, even if you don't answer my prayer the way I want to, I will yet praise you. Lord, even though things don't go my way, I will yet praise you. Lord, even if you don't heal me, I will yet praise you. Lord, even if you don't provide for me, I will yet praise you. Lord, even if the devil seems to be getting his way in this world, I will yet praise you. Praise in the midst of the pit releases angelic power in our midst. Praise is a powerful weapon against the devil, and it opens up the way for the blessings of God to fall on us abundantly. I wonder sometimes, listen, people of God, I wonder sometimes if many of God's answers to prayer are stuck because we're stuck in the complaining part. I wonder if that's why a lot of answers to prayers are stuck. The blessings do not fall because we haven't moved from complaining and venting to praising and remembering and surrendering all to God. That's what Habakkuk is teaching us today. Convicting, huh? It was to me. Convicting. We're going to move into the Lord's Supper. But before we do that, let me end with this. The words of Habakkuk. Lord, we've heard of your fame. We stand in awe of your deeds, O Lord. Repeat them in our country. Repeat them in our community. Repeat them in our church. Repeat them in our lives. Make them known. And in wrath, O God, remember mercy. Let's pray. I don't know if you're discouraged today. You may be. There might be areas of your life where you're discouraged. There may be areas of your life where you don't know you're discouraged. Maybe because of what's going on in our church, even though we have unity and love and we're seeking to seek God and His will, we're still behind budget. Maybe because of a relationship or two that is not blossoming. Maybe because you've lost hope that someone will be healed or restored or a relationship will be healed. I don't know. But I want you to remember who God is. I want you to remember His fame. I want you to stand in awe of His deeds and ask Him to repeat it, to do it again in your life, in our church, in our community, in our country. Why, my soul, are you downcast, says the Lord in one of the Psalms. Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, or I will yet praise Him, my Savior and my God. Father, we pray today that you will help us, Father, to be honest and not skip the complaining part. Not skip the part that we think you don't want to hear. Because you want all of us, every part of us, the good, the bad, and the ugly, because that's us, complete. But Lord, help us to move with faith from complaining to worship, complaining to acknowledging that you have a lot of power and love and patience and kindness. The ability to change things in a heartbeat. Help us to surrender to you so that we too can say, no matter what, that though the fig tree does not bud and there are no grapes on the vines, and though the olive crop fails and the fields produce no food, though there are no sheep in the sheepfold and no cattle in the stalls, yet we will rejoice in you. The Lord, we will be joyful in God, our Savior. Father, we want to be faithful to the end. Help us. Help us to do that until you call us home. This we pray in the mighty name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen.